gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Doing what on Craigslist? All right, I quit.
You got some guns.
Thank you. Thank you, P90X. All right. Oh, and by the way, thank you, Carbonite, because you were so, like, lightly fired, almost medium fired.
You're fired.
Because you left the CD at home.
Every day I burn a CD with all the sound bites on it.
Yes.
And I had left it at home.
Uh-huh.
But luckily, Carbonite backs up everything that's on my desktop at home, and I was able to download it here.
Thank you, Carbonite, for Chris Lavoie's job, because, wow, I was right here. Yeah, it was that. Whoop, itchy trigger finger.
I love me some Carbonite.
StephanieMiller.com. website. Wow, that was a land speed record for a resignation. Holy moly. Me thinks there's maybe where there's smoke, there's fire, I think.
Oh dear.
Maybe there's a little more going on than meets the eye. What did he try first? Let's see. Let's review the list of the Republican congressman. Oh, by the way, I could have helped Ed with the pronunciation last night. He said the Tawanda News. It's Tanawanda.
Tanawanda.
That's the transit from Cheektowaga, Lackawanna. It's my district, my area.
Yeah.
Republican that resigned yesterday.
Is that what passes for congressman in your area?
Yes.
I hope it's not your dad's old district.
I think it is, actually. I think it's what's left of my dad's old district.
Oh, yes. No.
Let me just say my dad was never shirtless ever, not even in the shower. Seriously. My dad was very formal. He, around the house, he used to wear a white shirt and a tie, I'm telling you.
Did he used to wear those, like, Desi Arnaz hats?
Yes!
Did he really?
The Hamburg. Yes, my dad was very dapper.
Wow.
Yes, he was never shirtless, ever.
Hmm.
All right. So, all right, let's review the list of it. First, he said he was hacked.
Yes.
And how many times is that? That happens to me almost every day,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone says I'm a 39-year-old congressman.
Mm-hmm. Lobbyist.
Lobbyist. Divorce lobbyist.
Yes.
He's against, for Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you know.
Yep.
Because I guess that's the policy he goes by in his house, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell Your Wife What You're Doing on the Craigslist. Okay.
Well.
Oh, by the way, I thought he lied even more on Craigslist because when, you know, the clerk was reading his resignation, I thought that was him.
No,
Who the hell's the shirtless picture he posted? Who's the bald guy reading it? I thought it was him resigning.
Yeah.
It was the clerk reading his resignation. Oh, boy.
And doesn't the GOP know that nobody goes on Craigslist anymore for sexual hookups?
Yeah, hello. And I got it so 5 minutes ago.
I mean, he needs to get, like, GOP Grindr or something.
Get with it. Yeah. All right, so Mama was on the Ed Show. That is posted up at StephanieMiller.com.
And at your Facebook page, where you might
troll for. And, yes, in case you haven't asked, something has gone awry with my Japanese hair straightening. Thanks for asking. I don't know it's like gone the other way. It looks like the perm, the home perm my mom gave me in the 70s, right before the prom. I don't know what's happening. It's actually poofed it out as it backfired.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. She's going to try to fix it. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So lots to get to. Oh, by the way, who knew? Even on television, they did the Harry Ball story. They were obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. We thought, you know, we were the only ones immature enough.
We did it
to
here
do it
first.
For 3 hours yesterday. Yes.
Even NPR did it.
I know.
Yesterday afternoon.
It's the mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana, that they were trying to decide whether to name a building after him, Harry Balls, B-A-A-L-S, pronounced
Balls.
Balls. Hmm. Yeah, apparently the right-wing radio show that's right up the, you know, next door.
Right up the transit?
No, it's next door.
Yeah.
Apparently he talked about me. He said that I handled the Harry Ball story much better than they did.
Yeah.
And we think it's because his sports guy is actually a fan of our show, so I think he listens to me instead of the right-wing guy during show.
Yeah, I think that happens.
He has very good taste. Thank you. We did. handle the Harry Balls, I thought, really, really well.
Yes, we did.
As these things go.
We juggled them, in amongst other stories.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. Howard, right, people had to get in their stories, and I couldn't, we don't have time for all of them, because, you know, people. Howard writes, he actually did go to Ball State University.
Yes.
Steph, I'm a graduate of Ball State in Muncie, Indiana. The school was founded by the same family who owned the Ball Canning Jar Company.
Sure.
We used to wear T-shirts that read Ball U. true story, the family gave a lot of art to the school's gallery, and the plaques always read, "This painting was hung by the balls." That is true. People that go to Ball State know that this is true. All right. I got the highest compliment ever yesterday on the Ed Show. Is they said everybody in the control room was cracking up, which is that's how you know that's the.
Now this is crew because you're on at a different time on the Ed Show now.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So had they heard of you before?
No.
Oh.
Who has? But because we also talked about the National Enquirer John Boehner Boehner story. About him having some lobbyist lovers, as Tom Brokaw would say. And I don't know, because how could you need, Ed said it's National Enquirer, can you prove it? I said, well, you know, they were right about John Edwards, and right. I don't know what you do. You just looked for, you know, you have to look for women that look like they've been up by a Cheeto. You know, you just look for bronzer. I'm not sure how else you prove it.
Oh, dear.
The crew liked it.
Okay. Were you on with a right winger?
No,
just
me.
Just
yes,
you, okay.
No. Yes, Coleman writes from, what's the word he's from? Oh, "Orange, you glad you're not a boner" is the subject line. Yes, I am. Steph and crew, this is Coleman from St. Paul. My dining room is the same orange as John Boehner. If he were to visit me, he would disappear like the Cheshire Cat. I would only be able to see his teeth, eyes, and perfect hair. You know what? I realized my dining, you know, you've been there.
It's orange.
My dining room is orange, too.
Yeah. Don't invite him over for dinner. You'll
never
find him.
I would love that. Oh, be great. They're exactly right. The little cat. The Cheshire Cat. All right, we have lots to get to today. We have a big, big show. Carl Frisch, now of Media Matters, now from Bullfight Strategies. I can't keep track of everybody. People are moving around too much. Overman, The Current TV, Ariana, AOL, Huffington Post. Formerly of Media Matters, now Bullfight Strategies.
Yes.
Everybody stay in one place. It's too startling for Mama. You're moving too fast.
Well, we've been on the air for, 7 years now? People are going to move around a little bit in those 7 years.
I don't. I am set in my ways,
I don't ever
do anything differently.
You abandoned us and moved to New York.
That's true. Well,
okay.
That was ill-advised, yeah. As are most things in my life. All right. Even the reporters are all over the place. I can't keep track. Where's Howard Kurtz now? Who went to Huffington Post? Somebody else.
Didn't Howard Kurtz go to the Daily
Beast?
Yes,
Daily Beast.
Okay.
But someone else went to the Huffington Post from, I can't remember. All right. All right. This is, this is bad news for me. U.S. Airways is raising the fee to check heavy luggage on domestic flights to an extra $90 each. The old fee was $50. That's on top of the $25 to check a first bag and $35 for the second bag. Why is this bad news? Because I'm going to visit my Republican relatives in March, and I'm going to need a lot of box wine. And you know, they're the only ones that fly down there to Charlotte.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh,
but you know, they do sell box wine in Charlotte.
Do they?
Yes. You can purchase it there if you desire.
There's more family drama. I probably shouldn't get into it.
What? Oh, no. You can't drop that bomb and run.
My brother ran to my mommy. He copied emails and ran to my mommy, and now my mommy wrote a letter to me, and he didn't say all the mean stuff he said to my sisters and I. And now it's like we're being mean to Bill. All right. I shouldn't probably have said that. They don't want me to talk about him anymore.
Republicans do that. They run and tell mommy all the time instead of standing up for themselves.
All right. And now apparently I think the implication is, I my sister gave me a heads up, warned me about the letter. I think the implication is that if I'm on, you know, getting targeted death threats from Glenn Beck's listeners, it must be my fault. It must be because she said, has my little comedian gotten too serious? No!
No.
The Glenn Beck's fans are crazy. That's the whole point, is I'm making jokes and they're taking it seriously. All right. How did I know my mom would be on Glenn Beck's side?
Well, she's a lifelong Republican.
Well, I told you when she, you know, because she has to be close to the television. I think if she, I've mentioned this before, it's like Poltergeist when you go there. If she could get into the television with him, she would. I'm sure when I get there, she'll be spooning with Glenn Beck in the television.
You know what would make her year? If you pulled some strings and actually took her to the Glenn Beck show.
Oh, I love my mother more than anything in the world, but I do not love her that much.
I'm sure you could pull some strings and make that happen.
Oh, I don't think so. No, I'm on every Fox ban list there is. I'm the last person that can get into Fox News.
You know why? Because you fight back.
Yes! Well, I've learned not to do that anymore. Okay. All right, we have Lawrence Korb coming up. You know, he was worked under Reagan, for God's sake.
He was Assistant Secretary of Defense under Reagan.
Yes, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress coming up next to update us on Egypt. Let me just tell you something.
What?
You don't want to punch Anderson Cooper in the head because now you've made him mad, Egypt. And he is all over the Egypt story. And we will discuss that with Lawrence Korb next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, we have Representative Paul Tonko coming up of the great state of New York, and Representative, oh no, that's it, I'm sorry. That's a different story. We're not having Christopher Lee. He resigned. That's a story. That's not a booking.
Right.
My bad.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, he wouldn't answer my calls yesterday. Yeah, I tried
Weird.
To book him, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, good job. All right, the government of embattled Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak hit back Wednesday on what it called U.S. attempts to impose American will on a loyal Middle East ally, saying rapid reforms would be too risky. But as pro-democracy protesters consolidated a new encampment around Cairo's parliament building, the White House again said the Egyptian ministers must do more to meet the demands of demonstrators who want an immediate end to Mubarak's reign. So a lot of fast-moving events over there. Lawrence Korb, who was Assistant Defense Secretary under Ronald Reagan, and now from the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
My pleasure.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you happened to watch Anderson Cooper last night, but you don't want to punch that man in the head and make him mad, because he's he's really going after the, you know, Egyptian government and really putting out there that these are lies that they're putting out, boldface, trying to, you know, say there's foreign influence here, saying, you know, the protesters are paid, yada, yada, right?
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the government is trying to do everything that it can, the Egyptian government, to pretend this is not, you know, the Egyptian people that they're being manipulated by outside groups to, if you will, to appear to, you know, appeal to Egyptian nationalism. But it's certainly not true. And I think one of the things people forget about this, the United States should say, look, we want you to go and all that, but we don't have the influence that we used to. You know, it's interesting, if you look at these demonstrations, you don't see these, you know, down with America, or, you know, that type of thing. You don't see any anti-Israeli propaganda. It's just, hey, we want to live like, you know, the rest of the people in the world who can, you know, take their destiny into their own hands.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that it's also, you know, such an interesting mix. Like, just when you think it's going one way, it goes another. I mean, this young, you know, Google executive that was, you know, detained and now has been speaking. I mean, it seems like this has given it a whole new momentum, the anti-government protests, right?
Well, it has, and now that you're beginning to see the strikes, I mean, basically, I think Mubarak and Suleiman thought, well, these people get tired, they'll go home, and but basically, what's happened now, they're causing problems for the, you know, the Egyptian economy, and there's no way that they can continue to allow that to happen.
Well, you know, I know it's hard to, boy, you know, like I say, with the as fast as these events are moving, it's hard to predict, Larry. But, I mean, where do you see this going? I mean, because obviously that we're at a standstill. The protesters are saying this cannot, you know, nothing can happen until he leaves. And obviously he's dug in his heels. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think, you know, the real outcome is going to be, what does the army do? Because, you know, if you can't allow people to continue to go on strike and have these protests and shut down the government, does the army move in to, you know, break it up? Or does the army tell Mubarak it's time, you know, to go to Sharm el-Sheikh, you know, and spend your, you know, remaining days there? And I think that's really the key so far.
Well, and I want to, you're in such a unique position to talk about this, because obviously with all the talk of Reagan yesterday, or, you know, this weekend, excuse me, whom you worked under, I mean, it's interesting, because he was very much about compromise. He was about, you know, zero nukes. He was about, you know, something that this party today, it seems to me that Eric Cantor, it's very black and white. He said this all should be about stopping the spread of radical Islam. What is your take on that? Because obviously, you know, this is not a movement that is being powered by the Muslim Brotherhood, is it?
No, it's not. Now, could they try and take advantage of it? Sure, any group. But no, they didn't start it. Remember, this all started with a young man who, you know, torched himself in Tunisia and got their government to go. And then I think a lot of the, you know, what we call the beginnings of civil society in Egypt said, well, you know, why should we sit back? I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood did not start this. You know, they had very little role in it. Now, well, are they going to be a factor? Yeah, they will. But if we overreact, it'll play right into the hands of people like Mubarak and say, well, we've got to do this to prevent the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, from coming in, or, you know, a radical, you know, Islamist group. So that, yeah, and it's interesting you mention that. I wrote a thing in the Huffington Post that came out earlier this week talking about how Reagan would be very much at home with our group at the Center for American Progress in terms of, you know, he got out of Lebanon, he wanted to cut nuclear weapons, he negotiated with Gorbachev, unlike Bush, who, you know, purloined his, you know, evil empire, put Iran on the axis of evil, but then wouldn't talk to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly their hypocrisy at this point is fairly obvious. And when they were all for this, you know, pro-freedom, when I guess it's at the end of an American gun in Iraq,
yeah.
And, you know, and now suddenly they're not with the whole freedom and democracy around the world.
That's right. And, you know, but it's interesting, if you take a look at the opposition party, they're coming at Obama from all angles. One, you're not doing enough. Two, you're doing too much. I mean, he can't win, which in a way says he's probably got it about right,
right.
You know, in terms of what he's saying.
Well, you know, Larry, you'd be a good person to ask. We've been talking about with all the Reagan celebration. Well, like, why are they immune to people like you and I pointing out things Reagan actually did or stood for, which are completely antithetical to what they stand for? Like,
well,
you know, these people in the Tea Party today.
I think, you know, they're kind of, you know, the fellow who produced that HBO special, you know, put it well. I mean, they keep on saying, you know, kind of, well, what would Jesus do, you know, when I mean to Reagan, and they will take something he said and then not look at what he did. He said taxes are too high. Well, it's just true. He cut them. But then when he saw the deficit, he raised them.
Yeah, 11 times. 11 times. Well, I mean, I think, and the other thing, I mean, look at any Republican today that even says or hints. Hence, comprehensive immigration reform is just, you know, is just eviscerated. And this is someone that gave amnesty to millions of illegal immigrants.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the issues I dealt with them on, for example, women in the military. We have people like Phyllis Schlafly, you know,
right.
Saying we ought to throw them all out. And I remember talking to the president about it, and he said, well, what do you think? I said, listen, if you did that, you'd lose the war. These are integral parties. Well, then we better keep increasing them. You know, there was none of this, you know, and he might, you know, say something nice to, you know, Phyllis Schlafly, but he, you know, wouldn't do it. We kept draft registration. In his second term, he cut defense spending when the deficit got too high.
Oh, Larry, I could keep you all morning. Always love talking to you. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Okay, sure thing.
All right,
bye.
There he goes. Ha! I love a good Phyllis Schlafly story. I had one. Oh, who didn't lie to her? I did. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I want to be sad Aunt Robin, the aging coin flip bimbo who gives her the creeps. I want to be cool.
Stephanie Miller,
the respected journalist who gives her beer.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch coming up from Bullfight Strategies. That's the new. It's a.
It's going to take you a while to get used to that.
I don't. It's not. He's from Media Matters, and now he formed with the Eric Boulders. No.
Eric Burns,
president of Media Matters. They formed their own new thing now, Bullfight Strategies, which was just bought by AOL and the Huffington Post and also Current Television.
It was Howard Fineman.
That's what I'm thinking.
It was Howard Fineman that went to Huffington Post.
Too many sudden moves for Mama. Slow down, everybody.
You don't like things to change,
no.
Do you?
No.
This, I'm sure this Ed show time change has just really thrown you into a complete
dizzy. I know it's good for Ed, but what about me? I mean, it's an hour after my bedtime I was on last night. Dear God. At least I've had time to, phrase I'm looking for? Sober up. I've had time to sober up by then, because it's, you know. Okie dokie. All right. What was the breaking news we just had economically? Lowest jobless claims?
In 2 years.
Mm.
Yep. So that's
good news for America, bad news for the Republicans.
Yeah.
All right. So they had their meeting, their little lunch at the White House yesterday?
Yeah.
No word if the president took our advice and served all orange food. It's a little joke. Starting with some cantaloupe.
Okay. Yams.
Yes.
Cheetos.
Okay. Snacks. Cheeto snacks, yeah, before the luncheon. Mm-hmm.
Even Doritos have a hint of orange to it.
Mm-hmm. The Robert Gibbs yesterday.
They agreed on, and let me expand a little bit, on cutting spending and reducing our deficit.
All right.
Yeah, it seemed like a very, Rachel Maddow did a great thing last night about how they just, like, started with this whole no compromise, and they've kind of pretty much been a disaster thus far, haven't they?
They've compromised.
Keeping their whole thing together.
What was the thing they failed to pass yesterday? Oh, shoot. I wish I had this in front of me.
Patriot Act?
No, the Patriot Act was 2 days ago. That was the first thing they failed to pass.
Well, that was the first thing.
Yeah.
The House failed to extend the life of three surveillance tools that are key to the nation's anti-terror law, a slip-up for the new Republican leadership that miscalculated the level of opposition. The Republicans lost 26 of their own members on that one, adding to the 122 Democrats who voted against it. Blah, blah, blah. It's going to be interesting. This is what we've been saying. It's going to be interesting to see, because I think, obviously, on some subjects like Afghanistan, mm-hmm, Chris, the Tea Party is going to form common cause with a lot of liberals.
That's
so
right.
And, but, you know, the bad news for the Republicans already, they've kind of, you know, having a little trouble getting it together.
But the Tea Party is also in disarray because you have the social conservatives, yeah, versus the libertarians.
Yeah. And then you got this whole, the gays. Oh, the CPAC starts today in Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Sarah Palin came out for the gays.
I know it. Oh, I don't know what to do. Can I have some, give me some entertaining music. Gay group and conservatives gathering splits GOP. Oh, no. The Conservative Political Action Conference, that was called?
Yeah, CPAC.
CPACL. CPACL. It starts in Washington. It's not where you'd expect to find a new front in the gay civil rights movement, but it's going to be the story this week at CPAC.
Yeah.
America has been going through a gay civil rights movement for more than a decade. One measure of its success, it's finally reached the Republican Party, T, and then a he.
Why, I will never know, but it has reached the Republican,
yes,
Party.
Yes, well, former first daughter, this is on CNN.com, mm-hmm, former first daughter Barbara Bush made news by announcing her support of gay marriage, joining Meghan McCain.
Yep.
John McCain's daughter, obviously.
The youngins.
Yes. Last year, RNC chair Ken Melman came out,
mm-hmm,
as we know. These stands have exposed fundamental fault lines within the conservative coalition between libertarians and social conservatives, between a new generation and the old. That's where CPAC comes in. This year, among the 50 co-sponsors of the event, it's GOP Proud. It's a gay Republican group, which, yeah, I don't know. You go figure. I don't know. Members believe in conservative principles, blah, blah, but they're openly gay. This is apparently unacceptable in the eyes of some of their chosen political tribe. When the CPAC chairman announced the GOP Proud would be among the co-sponsors, there was an outcry among social conservatives, then began the resistance. Family Research Council pulled out. Fill in your own joke there.
As they are wont to do.
Soon joined by Concerned Women for America. Love them. A guy's in charge of that. Love them.
What are they concerned about? Do you know?
I don't know. Well, as you know, I'm president of Women That Don't Give a F***. So I don't
think
know.
Is a much...
I'm not concerned about anything, so yeah. I don't know.
I'd rather be a part of your group.
They're concerned about the gays, mostly.
Yeah.
The American Principles Project, American Values, the Capital Research Center, Center for Military Readiness, Liberty Council. Oh, that's a Drunk Dialer Jeannie Thomas's little outfit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the Drunk Dialing group.
Yeah.
National Organization for Marriage and the Heritage Foundation all pulled out. All practicing the rhythm method, mm-hmm, with the CPAC. Liberty Council said libertarians only respect one leg of the Reagan Revolution, and you can't stand for long on one leg. Interesting, we just had Larry Corbett talking about how their rhetoric about Reagan is so out of step with who he actually was.
Yep.
The reference to Reagan, ironic, saying CNN.com, and deserves closer scrutiny. In the 70s, Ronald Reagan courageously campaigned against Prop 6, a ballot measure backed by social conservatives like Anita Bryant that would have blocked gays and lesbians from teaching in public schools.
Sure.
You remember that? You remember on the new Harvey Milk movie?
Yeah.
They literally asked Anita Bryant at that time, should homosexuality be outlawed? She said yes. Yes. Which I don't... She didn't get into the logistics of that, which would seem complicated at best to me, but... at any rate, yeah.
And then she lost her orange juice ads.
I have a feeling in private, it's like what Larry Korb was intimating. Ronald Reagan's like, oh, jeez, Anita Bryant, Phyllis Schlafly, tell those crazy bitches I'm busy, I've got something. I'm talking to Gorbachev. I can't talk to them now.
I don't think he called them crazy bitches.
I'm paraphrasing.
In the interest of time.
According to Ron Reagan Jr., he never talked like that. I'm paraphrasing what excuse Ronald Reagan probably gave when Anita Bryant or Phyllis Schlafly was on the phone.
Gotcha.
Something. He had a thing with a guy somewhere else, is all I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay, Stanley in Chicago on Reagan as well. Hi, Stan.
Good morning. More of this 100 years of Reagan. By the way, all this bringing up the good stuff, the stuff the right-wingers hate to acknowledge. Let's not forget, Reagan was the one who planted the seeds for the economic malaise we sit in right now.
Yeah, I'll say.
He scrapped Carter's alternative energy search and destroy mission. You know what I mean? So let's not forget the really, really hate and nasty stuff that Reagan did. I mean,
yeah,
he was more progressive than the right-wingers even want to dream about.
Yeah, but, he seemed nice, but his policies were not.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of his policies were pretty awful. The one thing, I was flipping through the bookstore the other day, and I picked up Junior's book, and looking at the pictures and everything, that struck me as you got, in that marriage, the true love really was Dancy. You know, everyone says that was his true love. They raised Ronnie, Junior, and Patty. Now, those two are ridiculed by the right wingers. I mean, they're scoffed at. Now, you look
they're not the right Reagans.
No.
My Republican mom does that. She dismisses anyone, they don't count. Those Reagans, those Eisenhowers, those Goldwater, whoever doesn't agree with the Republican side of the family. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Now, you look at the marriage that dissolved and was dysfunctional, the one with Jane Wyman, that produced the adoptive nutbag Michael and Maureen, who's quietly a right winger. And so it's funny. Isn't it somewhat ironic that the failed marriage, the dysfunctional, the one where Ronnie was, financing abortions around Hollywood, was the one that produced these two right-wing nut jobs?
Now, Stanley, wait a minute. In the interest of the new era of civility, I know Michael Reagan. He's not a nut job. He is actually a nice guy in person. I just don't agree with him politically.
But he has a talk show, and he knows that he needs to go a little bit over the top sometimes in order to get ratings.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Michael's not nuts. Are you? I mean, maybe it's an act.
It is an act.
No, I'm just saying he's a nut. I don't find him a nutbag in person.
Right.
I think, but I don't agree with him politically. I think he.
They also say Savage supports Jerry Brown behind the scenes. I don't know if that's true. You know what I'm saying?
So
a lot of these right wingers, it's all an act.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They know where their ratings come from.
Yeah. Anyway,
all right.
Anyway, just an observation in the bookstore the other
all
day.
Right. All right, honey. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Oh, by the by, interesting. We were just talking about the whole, the gay.
Yes.
The gay is splintering what's left of Republican unity, apparently, at the CPACL conference.
Okay. Gays have the power to break up marriages, to destroy the army, and now they're breaking up the Republican Party?
Oh, they're also a public health risk, according to the, the family leader. That's the conservative group.
The what?
The family leader.
There are so many conservative groups
nowadays.
If
you say family, it just means you're,
you're anti-gay.
Gay basher.
Okay.
No, it means you're the only ones with actual family values. Like, what's his name? Craigslist.
Yes.
The family leader, a conservative group, spearheading the repeal of same-sex marriage in Iowa. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They've described homosexuality as a public health crisis akin to smoking. Because if you get the secondhand gay on you, you're done.
Yeah.
And endorses discredited ex-gay reversal therapies, which I don't. What do you mean discredited? Ted Haggard says it works. He told Oprah, and you never lie to Oprah.
No, nobody's ever lied to Oprah.
That's James. What's his name? I don't know. All right.
Oh, God, yeah.
So Think Progress interviewed Iowa State Representative Dwayne Allens. He's a Republican co-sponsor of the anti-gay marriage bill. Asked him if he agreed with the family leader's characterizations. He did recite him some bullet points from the family leader's fact sheet and suggesting that defining a marriage between a man and a woman would reverse these quote-unquote problems to society. He said, I think the whole lifestyle has brought a lot of problems to society. He didn't really enumerate, just, gay, icky gay problems.
Yeah. There's no reason to get into details.
Speaking of the subject, CNN.com, though, I thought this was a really interesting piece. I'm not sure. I'll Google who wrote this. On CNN.com recently, but they talk about the Bush daughter adding to Obama's problems. He writes, some fine American. I'm not so cynical as to believe Barbara Bush does not believe in the words she said in her PSA supporting marriage equality in New York, but I'm also aware that her little revelation follows roughly 18 months of gay rights support coming from the mouths of some fairly surprising sources. Dick Cheney, Cindy McCain?
Mm-hmm.
I also see, despite Obama doing more for the gay and lesbian community than any president in this country's history, it only took a 22-second PSA to suggest he is still somehow behind the eight ball when it comes to gay rights.
That's true.
After all, if Bush's daughter supports gay marriage, what's Obama's problem? If Cheney supports gay marriage, what's Obama's problem? I do know that with each Republican-linked face that speaks out against discrimination based on sexual orientation, the more President Obama, the supposed face of change, appears dogmatic and antiquated by comparison, particularly someone who was elected with such a youth vote. The more the president remains silent or unchanged on the marriage equality issue, the more he runs the risk of alienating his base. However he speaks out the way Bush did in her PSA, he provides the GOP with the kind of soundbite Karl Rove can only dream about. I support gay marriage. Yeah, that's not going to go over well in the Bible Belt. It's a brilliant scenario for conservatives because, once again, the Republican Party is positioned to dictate the national conversation. If the 112th Congress is unable to tout an improved economy or jobs within the next 10 to 12 months, a presidential candidate may be able to resurrect the gay marriage debate to help fuel a run at the White House. And I hate to be that cynical, but boy, they've done it before.
Yep.
Just when you think they're done with the whole God's guns and gays things, it's, I agree. If the economy continues to improve, they'll use whatever wedge issue they can.
They're playing the hits.
Yeah.
They use that because it works, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's true. You know, the president can't get flanked on the left on gay marriage by the likes of these folks. So, interesting dilemma. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, our thoughts and yours on that. Oh, we still have $50 ProFlowers gift certificates for the best phone calls this morning. 1-800-STEP-12, the number to join the party. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. American
girl. 51 minutes after the hour. Amy in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ames.
Hey, Steph. I wanted to call in and tell you a couple things. Oh. I love you on Ed, as usual. You look stunning.
Thank you. Although my Japanese hair straightening has gone awry, but I'm...
Also, I wanted to let you know I am a gay lady, a mom, a...
Is that allowed?
Mm-hmm. And how's that working out for you?
Great.
Okay.
Working out fine
good,
for me.
Good.
I adopted my baby girl. She's absolutely stunning. And I wanted to mention that I read in an adoption magazine just this morning that all the latest studies say that adoptive parents raise very healthy, productive, quote, normal kids, equally in comparison to heterosexual couples.
Yep, yep.
I wanted to put that in.
Yep, exactly. Don't you love the junk science they use on these hysterical anti-gay websites? You're like, what? Where'd you get that fact from, huh?
Well, I didn't need the study to tell me, but, you know, with all the junk that they're putting out there, I just thought I'd put it. I just wanted to contribute.
All right.
I love your show.
All right. Thank you, Ames.
The chat room might have an explanation for your Japanese hair straightening.
Yes.
Maybe
what's
it was
happened?
Outsourced to China.
That's probably what happened. Thank you, chat room. You bastards. Damn it. I got the cheap Chinese version.
Yeah.
Tim in Madison. Hi, Tim.
This is why I love waking up to you. I can always laugh.
Yeah, whatever. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, Steph's expense.
I am also, I'm a gay male. I have two younger...
Is everybody gay this morning? What the hell?
Everybody gay?
I've got two very heterosexual brothers. Mm-hmm. I've got all my heterosexual cousins. The only one who's recently come out of it as anything is my female cousin who is bi.
Uh-huh.
And I don't spend a lot of time with her because she lives out of state, so I'm sure she never caught the secondhand gay for me. But I'm looking at this. This is what they're going to do. They're going to put this back out as a wedge issue for this election cycle. But
yeah, but don't you think it's just... That's what I'm saying. Don't you think it's just, it's not going to work anymore. It's so yesterday.
Look what's going on with CPAC.
Yeah.
Look what's great. You have Sarah Palin. You have these other people actually wanting the gays to be there.
Yeah. Well, they're just the dinosaur. The homophobes have become like the dinosaurs of the Republican Party, you know?
Yeah, they're the crotchety old mans, you know, turning the hose on the kids who get on their lawn.
The gay kids, yeah. They think you can hose the gay off you.
Well, if they could hold the gay off me, I would have been straight.
That right, sounded Tim. Really, really homoerotic.
Gay.
Yeah.
Gay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here was the story you were thinking of. House GOP fails again on suspension vote, this time on UN
That's
funding.
That's it. That
yes.
was it.
Yeah, they're having a little trouble keeping it together over there. Do you love the gays or do you hate them, first of all? And second of all... they failed for the second time in 24 hours to pass a bill under suspended House rules. The House fell short of the two-thirds majority needed to move legislation. See, the other thing is you'd think, like, aren't they supposed to know this before they do the vote? That's, you know, mm-hmm. you're supposed to be, that's part of it, is counting votes.
Right.
Which, by the way, Nancy Pelosi was excellent at. The House failed to meet the requirement on H.R. 519, which would instruct the administration to insist the U.S. be repaid $179 million in money it has overpaid to the U.N. It follows a vote in which Republicans also could not get the two-thirds majority to extend those mm-hmm. those extensions of the three Patriot Act things, which I obviously liberals for a long time have had a problem with. You've talked about
I've
this.
I've had it's, a huge you know, problem with it for a long time.
In terms of, civil liberties and et cetera. So... All right. You know, at least some of them are walking the walk that they ran on. Rand Paul is just as he said he was when he ran. He's like, $500 million. We're gunning everything.
At least he's standing on his principles.
And you can point lasers at pilots. Woohoo!
Yeah. Well, as far as that, he said that should be a state's issue
sure.
and not a federal issue.
Sure.
So.
In some states, you should be able to bring down an aircraft with a laser pointed something.
Or blind a pilot for the rest of his life.
Yes! Sean in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Stephanie, it's great listening to you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on those people in Iowa.
Yes.
You know that they have the Iowa thing with the idiots out wandering around. Well, the other one is I owe the world an apology. But, those people really need to get sent back to school or, you know, some type of retraining.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Sean. Not really sure what that was about.
Hmm.
Okay, the boner after the lunch yesterday.
We're able to find enough common ground, I think, to show the American people that we're willing to work on their behalf and willing to do it together.
That sounds a little bipartisan-y.
Is that allowed? It sounds compromise-y.
Is that allowed in the GOP?
Maybe someone's feeling a little scared of the National Enquirer these days.
Oh.
all right. By the president's ratings have inched up as the economy improves. Oh, dear. See? Mm. As Americans grew slightly more optimistic about the economy in the future, according to a new Reuters poll, his job rating went up to 51% from 50, continuing an upward trend since his October low of 43%. Mm-hmm. So the jobless rate, of course, dipped to 9% in January from 9.4%. Completing a 0.8 percentage drop since November. That was the highest two-month decline since 1958. So, we're not taking a bullet train. We're not taking a high-speed rail, but we're heading in the right direction.
Yes, we are.
Okay. All right, Justin in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
I just want to call up a little story. Remember how you had that really creepy dream involving you and Sean Hannity?
Mm. Oh, yes, I did have a sex dream about, having sex with Sean Hannity.
Uh-huh. I had a similar one. However, it involved Laura Ingraham.
No!
It was very, very strenuous.
Oh, boy, I bet it was.
It was horrifying.
Yeah,
so I
am so
sorry. Share that with you.
Okay.
I actually want to blame you and Chris for that, too, because you're always talking about Laura Ingraham. So.
Oh, all right, yeah. You know what? In fact, I think I'll have you and Jim do the Laura Ingraham stereo orgasm next. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine, well, and I'm
I get those television calls when the sleazy stories hit the news, don't they? I'll be on the Joy Behar show today talking about this Craigslist guy. Oh, look, the fit, classy, and fun Jim Ward is here. Hello, Jim.
Fit, classy, and fun? Since when?
That was Chris Lee's description of himself.
Well, yes. No. That is classy. Classy with a K for sure's. Good job. Oh, speaking of which, our caller, he had a horrifying dream that he had sex with Laura Ingraham. So that means it's a request for the patented Mooks Laura Ingraham orgasm.
Harder. Pull my hair. I can't feel it.
Okay. My hair is new.
I'm debuting that today.
I have a feeling she'd enjoy that.
Yeah, she seems like a gal who would enjoy that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what?
It's going to be really uncomfortable for you if you ever run into Laura Ingraham at one of these radio conventions.
Which
you know that?
Which I do frequently. Like, I can't control them. You know
Tell
how that
them
is.
To stop it. You need to make them stop. I don't sound like
My
that.
Hair is too short to pull.
Here's the thing, when people keep changing where their new organization, I gotta change the jingle, for God's sake.
Carl.
Oh.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
Hey! Yeah, there you go. That's bullfight.
Yes. Hello, good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning, can you just give me a minute? I'm updating my Craigslist profile. does fit sound better than I can do the splits. I don't know what the Congress people are saying these days.
Yeah, boy, that was the fastest resignation. Those of you that hadn't heard, just Gawker posted the Craigslist ad of a married Republican Representative Christopher Lee, Republican of New York, who's allegedly been using the site Women Seeking Men to seek out adulterous hookups in the Washington D.C. area.
What? That never happens.
He was a 39-year-old divorced lobbyist. Oh, that's a good one. Who hasn't heard that one before?
Well, you know, he's about to be a 46-year-old divorced lobbyist, so.
You know what? Only in D.C. would someone use, I'm a lobbyist, as a come-on.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know what's crazy? At least he didn't lie. I mean, he's so fit that he ran out of Washington faster than we could get our hands on the scandal.
Yeah. That's the thing, Carl. You gotta give him credit. He tried a little bit. He was like, I was hacked. I only used Craigslist. My wife and I, when we were selling furniture. Okay, never mind. I quit.
Well, and you know, what's crazy to me is if you've been following the National Enquirer like I do, the Hill newspapers have been saying that the reason that Lee left so quickly is because Boehner said there was going to be a zero tolerance policy on these things. Well, you know, if you read the National Enquirer, Boehner may have said a couple of these things himself.
Yeah, well,
a winger, then you believe everything that's in the National Enquirer because of John Edwards.
Yes, right. That's right. Well, you know, we'll find out what his favorite pickup line is. Can I buy an Orangina? Screwdriver?
You're tanning better mine.
Hi, Carl Frisch. He's exciting and new. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? All right. You know, Carl, I think we can all at least give him this, that no one speaks on behalf of the black woman better than Rush Limbaugh.
What?
What?
One of the biggest pet peeves black women have in recent decades is black men marrying or
you.
Pairing up with white women. Mm. Just bugs them. Particularly if they happen to be blonde.
Wow. I actually think one of black women's pet peeves is Rush Limbaugh, but that's just me.
Well, you know, it's one of their pet peeves in recent decades, though.
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
He's being very specific about his timing of his slur on an entire class of people.
I think one of their pet peeves is being stereotyped like that.
By
Rush
big,
Limbaugh.
Fat, white men like Rush Limbaugh, exactly.
Here's what black women are thinking.
He's on his fourth wife. I want to know what pet peeves have kept him from staying loyal to the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
The biggest pet peeves of white women, also Rush Limbaugh. All right, Glenn Beck on the radio.
Let's go on a little conspiracy here.
What?
Sarah
That's so
Palin
unusual.
Has always been pilloried by the left. But have you noticed the right and how she's being pilloried?
Oh,
the same with me. Same with CPAC.
Oh.
Is it just a coincidence? Or is the 2012 presidential election raising its head now, and anyone that talks about freedom or is a real wild card that can hurt the party, are they being politically assassinated at this point?
Oh,
oh dear.
Wow.
There's a whole lot of crazy in that conspiracy. Wow. There's some violent rhetoric in there. It really is like a like an A1 toss of insanity there. You've got conspiracies. You've got violent rhetoric. You've got the 2012 election that she's supposedly not in yet because she's still a Fox News contributor. And then you've got Glenn Beck elevating himself to a position that would have any importance in the 2012 election. So,
yeah.
You know, Glenn Beck is nothing if he's not egotistical.
I tell you, of all the exhibits that would prove why Sarah Palin shouldn't be president, I urge you to read her verbatim response about the administration's response to Egypt. That is like 3.5 paragraphs of pure gobbledygook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I do like reading Silverstein, so maybe I'll pick it up.
All right. Bill O'Reilly.
And then there's Howard Dean, who has lost a tremendous amount of power and influence in this country.
Oh, dear.
Dean is all upset that I asked the president about redistributing income. For the record, Dean is absolutely wrong that the purpose of government is to make sure capitalism works for everybody. That is insane. Dean doesn't know his history, and he doesn't know human nature.
Wow.
Power is shifting in America away from the left-wing zealots and toward a more moderate traditional approach to problem-solving.
You know, somebody who doesn't know why the tide's coming in out should not be asking anybody about their knowledge of history or anything else for that matter.
Like the tides. What causes that? I have no idea.
Oh, boy. Okay. This you'll really enjoy about his what his interview with Obama proved. Okay.
There is a serious issue here, and that is that the interview made Fox News look credible and responsible. By most fair-minded accounts, it was a lively, respectful give-and-take between me and the president, and he even seemed to enjoy it. We covered a lot of ground in a fair and balanced way. Thus, the world saw the real Fox News, an aggressive operation, but a fair one.
Yeah.
That damages the far left tremendously. So they have to spin the situation lamenting how dreadful it all truly was. As Fox News gets stronger, the far left gets weaker.
Wow. He just, that was exactly the opposite of what's true. Or there wouldn't be so much controversy over it.
The president seemed to enjoy it because he was laughing at O'Reilly.
Yeah.
If anybody interrupted O'Reilly 48 times, his head would blow up on camera. You know, and at least he's admitting now that that Fox News needs something to make them more legitimate. And if it's the president and he's saying that the president makes them more legitimate, then at least he's being a little bit honest.
Yeah, I the part that cracked me up the most, it proved that I was respectful, that Fox News is respectful of the president. That was exactly the opposite. It made our case, you know, exactly the opposite.
Folks say you're a far left loon.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. I apologize for doing it to you again, Laura Ingraham.
Liberalism is getting really hard to defend. So the default position is Fox News is mean to the president. Fox News is awful. Fox News is terrible. Fox News doesn't get its facts right. I say to my liberal friends out there, why don't you try something novel? Propose some ideas that actually grow the economy and inspire people.
Well,
find your own new liberal Ronald Reagan and see how that works out for you. But the whole Fox News bashing,
I think it's more than...
Wow, we did. We did find out Ronald Reagan. He was elected in a landslide, and he has a lot of ideas.
Yes, like high-speed rail, for example.
Yeah.
Well, you know, any idea that they don't come up with for a Republican is a bad idea. And, you know, I don't like taking my advice from people like Laura Ingraham. You know, I'm not the only one who remembers when she was just writing books and doing her talk radio show. And now she's on Fox News with everybody else attacking the president. All you have to do to understand that Fox News is really against the president instead of being a news operation is watch it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Sarah Palin, and Hannity.
Yeah, the Obama policies really lack any kind of soundness. Americans at this point are saying, nah, enough is enough. We, you know, this ain't our first rodeo. After 2 years of failed leftist policies, we're not believing that growing more government and then taxing businesses and taxing the people, and that'll hit in about 2014, that's the answer to these problems.
You know, it's Sarah Palin, and she's basically saying that the president's done in 2 years. Just because she quit after 2 years doesn't mean that everything's done after 2 years.
Why would you do anything for longer than 2 years? I don't get it. Yeah, that was okay. By the way, is there audio? Does there exist audio of her answer about Egypt? Because it's we got to find that. It's stunning, truly. Carl Frisch of Bullfight Strategies.
Yes.
.com.
.com. .com, .net, .org, whichever.
And yeah. you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter.
Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
More importantly, Craigslist. More importantly, the Stephanie Miller Show every week. See you next week, honey.
All righty.
All right, there we go.
Hooray!
Yeah, you're saying he's kind of buff, what's his name, Christopher Lee.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, as far as Republicans go, I've seen doughier.
He could use some P90X, but, you know, just saying.
As far as
and I hope he'll type Stephanie in the box at checkout.
I don't think he'll type anything in anybody's box.
For quite some time.
Not publicly, anyway.
Right.
His wife will be over his shoulder every time he's on the computer for the rest of his life.
Yes.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Oh, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, no. Come on. Paula writes, according to Vanity Fair, guess who they're thinking about replacing Christopher Lee, the Republican congressman from New York, with?
Who?
Carl Palladino, who doesn't need a shirtless photo. Just his way with women is...
You know. I just got a big pink baseball bat I'm going to crack you over the head with. I'm going to take you out.
I don't want to go out with
you. I'm going to take you out.
I don't want to go out with you.
I'm going to take you to dinner, and we're going to watch a movie, and you're going to like it.
I don't want to.
And then we're going to get busy later.
Oh,
that's what's going to happen.
Who could turn that down?
Seriously? Vanity Fair is saying they're seriously speculating. Oh, boy.
Cool.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Oh, goodness. Yes, the original Gawker story. Yesterday, we reached out to Representative Lee, whose support for Don't Ask, Don't Tell and vote to reject federal abortion funding suggests a certain comfort with publicly scrutinizing others' sex lives.
Yeah.
Right-wing hypocrites!
A spokesman for the congressman originally confirmed the email address belonged to him, but he had deleted his Facebook account because our initial inquiry had him fretting about privacy.
Huh.
He eventually announced the congressman believed he'd been hacked, and then what was the second one?
He and his wife were shopping for furniture on Craigslist.
That's
yes,
the only time.
Of course. Furniture. That's what the kids are calling it.
He was selling a different kind of wood in my... all right. And then... he quit.
He wasn't selling furniture. He was selling guns.
Oh, pardon me. My bad.
Ah, well.
All right. Gay in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Gay.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Listen, I've got two things on my to-do list today.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to join the Black Woman's Think Tank that Rush Limbaugh has formed. I'm very excited about
that. Good.
The second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get on Craigslist to get me a white Republican blonde man to get revenge on all the black men that are getting these white blonde women.
The blonde women. There you go. Yeah. Good girl. Rock on, sister. All right, and just for that, I'm going to give you a $50 ProFlower certificate. What do you think of that?
Yay!
All right, hang on, Rebecca.
To send to the tall, blonde, white manager?
Yes,
yeah, of
to
course.
Find a pudgy, white, blonde Congress lobbyist.
At least we got shirtless pictures of Chris Lee. I mean, we could have had shirtless pictures of, I don't know, Chris Christie.
Oh, dear God.
So we dodged a bullet there.
It's a walking before P90X picture. Chris Christie. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. The worst of Congress and the best. The other big breaking news yesterday. It's so great. Gabrielle Giffords spoke, apparently,
yes,
for the first time. She said toast.
She asked for toast. She likes toast.
I like toast.
Not since George Bush liked toast so much have I been so excited about toast.
Yeah, that's great news, though.
She spoke for the first time. Giffords first spoke several days ago. They're saying they're speaking more and more, according to her spokesperson. Apparently, breakfast came, and she wanted toast. Giffords' husband on Facebook said his wife had her appetite back and was eating three times a day, even though it's hospital food. Oh, he... funny. I love, you know, I was reading this whole story about how her staff, can you imagine, is holding up this whole operation in her absence. How unbelievable is this with everything they're dealing with? You know, their congresswoman is in the hospital, shot in the head. They're trying to run her office and take care of constituents. Alice Callison is a constituent of hers. Mm-hmm. After failing to get help from Arizona's two senators, that would be John McCain and John Kyle, Republicans, she called Gifford's office for help shortly after 4 p.m. on January 31st. She was concerned her daughter would be trapped in Cairo without food, water, or a way to get to the airport. She first thought her call might not be important enough to break through, given everything else Gifford's office was dealing with, but she called anyway because Gifford's is her congresswoman after getting no help from John McCain or John Kyle. She said in Politico, she said she was out first thing in the morning, her daughter. It was just an ideal collaboration of everyone doing their job at the highest level. So, Gabby Gifford's, even from a hospital bed, her staff helped this woman.
Amazing.
Oh, all right. It's a happy story.
And the two Johns were just sink or swim, bitch.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Republican way.
Yep.
No, but seriously, if that's not an immediate constituent concern that you'd call an office about, my child is trapped in Cairo,
Wine. Yeah, everyone's got problems.
Yeah, they're probably in the Muslim Brotherhood. Screw them. Oh boy. Wow. All right. Oh, by the way, the fiance of Gabe Zimmerman, he was the staffer who was killed. Remember, he was engaged to be married. She has called for a ban on high capacity gun magazines, like the one used by Jared Lochner. Kelly O'Brien is her name. She spoke publicly for the first time since the shootings. She said the man who killed Gabe and five other people fired 31 shots in 15 seconds. That's two shots every second. 10 bullets are more than enough for self-defense, which is why most people own handguns. High-capacity ammunition magazines, by the way, were illegal until Republicans allowed the ban to lapse in 2004.
Yep. And this is what you get.
Yeah. You know how hot Lawrence O'Donnell makes me. I can't help myself. Dear God. I was sitting in his chair in Burbank last night doing the Ed Show. Oh, it was all a titter.
If you had done that to Keith Olbermann, I think he would have taken a hit out on you. He doesn't like people sitting in his chair.
Lawrence didn't know. He wasn't there.
Well, now he knows.
Anyway, but my point is, I love that. Have you seen that promo? I love that promo. He said, I blame Jared Lochner for the first however many shots. I blame.
First 10.
For the first 10 shots. Mm-hmm. I blame the law for the next 21. Yep. And he's all mad when he says it. It's so hot. Okay. I'm so fickle. Keith who? No, I'm... listen, I'm gonna... I didn't even know I had Current till yesterday.
You're gonna find Current and you're gonna watch it.
Yes, I will. Because I am a political slut. Slut, look at me. All right, 29 minutes...
Slut! Mm-hmm. She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
Thank you. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
That's who I am now. Penny throwing dummy.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Hobbit in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello. Welcome, Hobbit.
Hello, Stephanie. I love you guys.
Love you back.
First quick question. I'm hoping I can be the official whitewater raft guide of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet.
Please.
Would love to go on a whitewater rafting trip with you.
I'll send you my information and take you to any river you like.
Oh, cool.
Right on. And
it's too dangerous. Moves too fast. Go ahead.
I'll keep you safe, baby. I got your best interest at heart.
Ooh, that's so Meryl Streep movie. It's so...
River Wild.
Yeah, but she gets sick on boats.
I don't think that would go well for me. But go ahead, Hobbit.
All right. Well, I wrote a haiku for Congressman Lee that I'm hoping might win me some Pro Flowers loot.
I'll be the judge of that. Go ahead.
And it goes like this. We met on Craigslist. You looked so good with no shirt on. Sorry about your career.
That didn't really rhyme, but okay. Thank
it's
you.
It's haiku.
It's haiku.
Haikus don't rhyme.
I like rhyming. All right, but thank you, Hobbit. Sorry.
Haikus are harder to rhyme. You just like the very simplest form of poetry,
I
don't
do.
You?
I like
limericks.
I like
she likes limericks.
Because they're dirty.
I like Jesse Jackson's speeches. I like Outhouse to the White House and, you know.
Whatever.
All right. Let's see. Oh, you know, normally I don't. Daniel writes, Mama, I'm heading into surgery tomorrow. There's nothing that would make my day more than Kim Jong-il and Bob Dole wishing me well. Oh, Jim, I'm sorry.
You got to be very careful when you go to the hospital. Make sure they don't feed you bad kimchi. I could tell you stories. Oh, not good.
That's Bob Dole. They give you a little blue pill. You know what that's for. But make sure you don't overdose, you might wind up with a dead hand like Bob Dole.
All right. Okay.
Oh. I'm not afraid of Bob Dole in third person. Bob Dole thinks Bob Dole ought to cut it out. Makes Bob Dole look like a fruitcake.
What the hell are you talking about?
All right. Thank you, Jim.
The chat room is going nuts because they've never actually seen you do Kim Jong-il before.
Yeah.
Yes.
And bomb the creepy Bob Dole eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get Bob Dole. Right.
Meanwhile, I think the John
Bob
Boner...
Fan. Bob
National...
Dole eyebrow.
I think the John Boner National Enquirer story might be a hoax, because I swear to God, I think they did that story just for us to do Tom Brokaw recording on it.
Oh?
What are the chances that it's two women both with L's in their first and last name and they're both lobbyists?
No. Oh.
I mean...
One's a press secretary and the other one's a lobbyist.
I mean, come on.
This is Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightly News. Alleged Rush and Speaker of the House John Boehner is alleged to have had a liaison with libidinous Press Secretary Leah LaMora and lovely lobbyist Elizabeth Lyons.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Somebody call a hospital or ambulance.
Because his tongue is, you see. Swallowed
my lingual supplement.
Chris Lee in the Craigslist scandal.
Christopher Lee? Dracula? Not that
Christopher Lee. No, different Christopher Lee entirely.
The Two Towers?
Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts. Staff, I have a new name for Mitch McLiplis. Can we call him the Republic Turtle? All right. He's the Republic Turtle. Mitch McLiplis.
I wish people would stop referring to my physical limitations. You know how hard it is to lug a shell around with you 24 hours a day?
That's why turtles have thick legs.
Okay. Yes, Mitch McLiplis, as we said, had lunch, and that was not reported, had lunch with the president last Friday, because I think it was probably embarrassing, because I think he can't really hold food in his mouth because he has no lips. So that was, you don't want any pictures of that. You don't want cameras.
I have a bill for those events.
Just lettuce just dropping left and right. The president probably couldn't look at him. He's probably just like, don't look at him. Okay, and so then the other big lunch was yesterday with the Boner, Cantor, and what's his name, McCarthy. Mm-hmm. They voiced optimism they could work with President Obama to cut spending and boost trade, even as they unveiled a plan targeting key White House spending goals.
Yeah.
The president wants to try to find some common ground, said the Boner. After having lunch at the White House citing trade deals, he said the reducing the deficit and growing the economy were the things that, according to the president, were most discussed at lunch, according to Robert Gibbs. This was an opportunity to listen to each other and figure out what that common ground is.
Well, I can tell you what some of it is. Obama apparently wants to cut $2.5 billion from a $5 billion home heating aid program for the poor. And seeking a longer Patriot Act extension than the Republicans. That's a problem.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of breaking news coming.
Yes, I see that. I see that on CNN, yes.
Mubarak is in Egypt is going to be giving a major speech today, and he may end up stepping down.
Really?
Wow.
Now?
Yes.
Mubarak, that's a little ominous, though. Mubarak's set to take next steps. Well, that could mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. That could be. Maybe there is a... Ugh, that would be kind of gross. He's 82. Is there a shirtless picture on Craigslist? I don't know. That's all it took. All right.
Although I have to say his face is very well preserved. They know what they're doing with mummification over there.
They must do sort of mummification while you're alive. By the way, my favorite email going around is the, Dear Egyptians, if you ruin the pyramids, we're not rebuilding them. Love the Jews. That's funny. All right, the Boner yesterday.
We are moving forward tomorrow with the continuing resolution that's going to cut spending. But the American people expect Washington to cut spending in order to grow jobs in America.
How? How is that going to grow jobs?
Yeah, I
cutting
don't.
Spending.
They haven't explained that.
No, they don't.
So didn't they run on they're going to cut $100 billion immediately? So now they're saying they're going to take a $35 million bite out of government. They called for termination of at least 60 federal programs and cuts in hundreds of others targeting education and the environment, food safety, and law enforcement.
Oh, food safety. Who needs that? Or law enforcement.
Yeah, that's
environment. Who needs to breathe?
In a blunt challenge to President Obama, the plan calls, of course, for eliminating a high-speed rail program. It also recommends ending federal support for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, Family Planning Services, and AmeriCorps.
Great.
That was Bill Clinton's side.
We'll save thousands of dollars. American people don't have jobs.
No, actually, NPR and PBS get a relatively small amount of their budgets from the federal government.
Right.
So even if the Republicans did away with that, it really wouldn't hurt those two organizations.
Yeah. By the way, how bad an idea is this? Speaking of cutting spending, Republicans call for defunding half-finished stimulus projects they once supported and took credit for.
Wow.
Nearly every Republican voted against the Recovery Act, of course, commonly known as the stimulus, but the majority of the Republican caucus later took credit for dozens of successful local stimulus jobs and projects. Now Republican leaders wrestling around a proposal to cancel unused spending authority in the 2009 stimulus bill that could block funds from flowing to ongoing stimulus projects. However, Republicans have failed to fully explain the repercussions for such a radical budget proposal. By cutting off stimulus funds to current projects, Republicans could leave projects half-finished and force mass layoffs.
Bridges
of stimulus-funded sites. Yes. The wasteful idea, even more cynical, given the fact Republicans have taken credit for major stimulus projects that are still ongoing. And I mean, seriously.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Who is that going to help?
Well, we got one half of a bridge. That's all we really need.
NBC News is confirming that Mubarak will step down tonight and Suleiman will take over.
I'm telling you, there's a Craigslist has to be involved somehow.
Suleiman will be on later.
Oh, great. An L name. Not since Slobodan Milosevic have we been so excited.
Slobodan Milosevic. Great. Another leader with a name that begins with L.
And he goes,
I'm delighted.
He goes, oh, let me up.
Along the Nile.
At least it wasn't in Libya.
I'm telling you, that boner story is a plant for us to report it. There is no way he's sleeping with two lobbyists whose name, first and last names, both begin with L.
We are Mora and Elizabeth Hines. One lobbyist.
God, it was written for us.
It wasn't even Elizabeth. It was Lizbeth Lyons. That's what I love about it.
Make it Ellier.
Yes!
She
made it Ellier.
I hope Mubarak isn't going to move to Alexandria.
Maybe a former Tom Brokaw producer planted this story just because they miss it. All right, Representative Paul Ryan yesterday.
Endless borrowing is not a strategy. We must restore the foundations of economic growth. Low taxes, spending restraint, reasonable regulations, and sound money.
Yeah, reasonable regulations.
Meaning none.
Yeah, meaning none. Please. Ben Bernanke, Federal Reserve Chairman, yesterday.
It would have extraordinarily bad consequences for our financial system, and it would mean that we would face higher interest rates essentially indefinitely.
He was talking about if they don't raise the debt ceiling.
Yes, which, you know what, I think all bets are off with this. This is really a pack of... Who knows? They obviously can't even control their own caucus. Who knows what's going to happen with the debt ceiling? Ben Bernanke
is having trouble controlling his own caucus, apparently.
Exactly.
With Lizbeth Lyons.
The federal budget will remain on an unsustainable path, with the budget gap becoming increasingly large over time, unless the Congress enacts significant changes in fiscal programs.
Wow, so Facebook Craigslist brought down a congressman, and Facebook may have brought down Mubarak. We will...
Facebook?
I mean, Facebook.
Google.
Google. Who's the Google executive? What's his name? Wael
Ghanim?
Ghanim, yes.
Google has nothing to do with Facebook.
He's a Google executive. I know that.
Well, then why'd you say Facebook? Because you know nothing about the internet. Absolutely not.
Dude face.
I know that Congressman Lee and Hosni Mubarak joined me in saying, these interwebs are pesky. 45.
Are you going to be brought down by the internet, too?
Apparently. Let me go see what's floating around out there. 45.
Yeah, you have no idea how to post anything on Craigslist, so I think we're fine with you.
Just pictures of my hair from the Ed Show last night might be enough. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on Egypt on The Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's Sean Bronco's favorite group, the Hollies.
Oh!
Senator John Kyle retiring later. What the hell's going on?
Wow. They're dropping left and right.
No.
Was he on Craigslist, too?
Apparently. There's been a Craigslist explosion. Senator John Kyle will retire. Robert Gibbs, by the way, talking about Jim Webb is not running again. Virginia senator.
I think Virginia is going to be a very competitive state in as it was last time.
Yeah, Jim Webb of Virginia announced he will retire when his term ends. So the announcement leaves Democrats scrambling to find it. So George Allen, Makaka, is going to run again, Senator Makaka.
And you know what?
He might get teabagged.
Yeah, he might. But with the climate the way it is today in Virginia, he might win this one.
You know who needs to run? Tim Kaine, who's the head of the former Virginia governor, chairman of the DNC. He said previously he wasn't interested in the seat, but Representative James Moran, who we know, said that might have been out of respect to Webb. So we'll see what happens in Virginia, where my sister lives in Lynchburg.
I hope Jim Moran runs.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? He's awesome because Sean Hannity once called him a. Steve in Rio de Janeiro. Hello, Steve.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just want to clarify something that Chris mentioned before. The actual cut that the House is proposing is to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which provides funding somewhat, he's right, for PBS and for NPR, and he's also right that it's to a very limited degree. The problem is that the vast majority of the stations that carry the programming for public broadcasting are independently owned and operated in local communities, and they rely, many of them, quite heavily on the subsidy that they're able to get through the federal government. Most of their money comes from individual listeners and viewers, but they do rely between anywhere from as low as maybe 2 or 3% to as high in some, especially rural areas, as high as 20, 25, 30%. So that they couldn't, the whole system would actually suffer badly.
Well, it's you know, I think your phone is awful, but
that was probably Skype if he was calling from Rio.
From Rio, yes, we appreciate the call from Rio. But and I was going to say that, I mean, of course, it's pure politics. It's because they feel like, you know, it slants left, which, of course, anything with real journalism and facts tends to frighten them.
The facts have a liberal bias.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What do you call it? Craigslist has imploded Representative Christopher Lee of New York. They're saying that the interwebs have brought down Hosni Mubarak, who will step down tonight, they're saying. Although, I've heard other people say that story is kind of overblown, that it has, there's so many elements to what this is, and a lot of it is obviously just economic frustration.
Yeah.
And,
there's so many elements, and many of them are overblown.
Once you rev up the when you hit the Brokaw chip on the boy spot, you can't.
Yeah, you can't stop.
No.
It's irretrievable.
Exactly. Even with carbonite, you can't. Which is probably why Michelle Obama says no Facebook for my children. On the Today Show, did you see that?
Yeah.
She said she's not really a fan of Facebook for kids. Even if their dad wasn't the president, he asked whether her daughters are on Facebook. She said no. First lady's reaction was immediate and definite. The first lady said, we're lucky there are a lot of real constraints like Secret Service and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of kids having Facebook. You know, it's not something they need. I think I always wonder if I'm just old and persnickety. I don't get it.
You're old and persnickety.
Yeah, but it leads to a lot of problems that, you know, we didn't have in my day.
The benefits more than outweigh the drawbacks. Seriously.
Is it an outgrowth, Jim, of, like, reality television? Why does everyone feel the need to share everything about their personal life? I can't do that.
You share as much as you want to share on Facebook.
Yeah.
You don't have to share every living, breathing moment.
I just don't get having to be in communication with everybody in the world 24/7.
See, like, tweeting, I don't get why people don't just text each other. Like, why they want everyone to see what they're saying to, you know what I mean? Like, other people.
Everyone's a star in their own TV show.
Okay. All right.
I learn a lot about a lot of breaking news first from Twitter.
Hmm.
before anywhere else.
Well, that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the sharing of personal information.
But that's what I use Twitter for.
Like, well, I'm just saying, like, this congressman, that's the, I mean, to me, that's the biggest part of the story. He's too stupid to be in Congress. What the hell? You're a congressman and you post your real picture and your real name on Facebook?
Yeah. And you know how he was found out? She Googled his name and found out who he really was.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Back in the 70s, we just dated serial killers. We didn't know. There was no Google. You couldn't Google anybody.
You had video dating back then. You know, like Love Connection. Wasn't it like that back then?
The love boat.
Maybe it's made us too, you know, what's the word? I don't know. You know, like, it's almost, maybe it, like, we should be more open to possibilities, whereas you hit Google Images, you're like, oh, no, never mind. I'm not even.
I'm sure someone said that about you, too.
I'm sure they have.
Because your pictures are all over the internet.
She looks like an Armenian dude.
You share a lot of stuff on the internet, you know.
Well, I don't mean to. Marcus in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Mooks. Just wondering if anyone's made the connection between the new vice president of Egypt, who's going to be taking over, and his name with Octomom.
Oh! Suleiman. Is he Mr. Octomom? Who knows?
Nadia Suleiman. That could be.
He's Octodad.
Octodad.
All right. Here is Wael Gonim. Yes, he's the Egyptian Google executive who seems to have really, you know, he seems to have supplied the tipping point in this whole thing.
If you want to free a society, just give them internet access, because people are gonna, you know, the young crowds are gonna all go out and see and hear the unbiased media, see the truth about, you know, other nations and their own nation, and they're gonna be able to communicate and collaborate together.
Well, that's what Anderson Cooper was saying last night, that overcame the lies that the Egyptian government was trying to put out, that this was being fomented by foreigners, that the protesters were being paid, that, you know, it's the Muslim Brotherhood behind it, and stuff that was just easily be able to be debunked. Representative James Harmon, Democrat of California.
I think we have underestimated the importance of social media.
Yeah.
And I think we have not used enough public sources in our intelligence products. This is an old problem, not a new problem. And our intelligence products are hugely better since the passage of the Intelligence Reform Act in 2004. Nonetheless, we missed this.
I really can't believe that the CIA wasn't monitoring the social networks going on around Egypt.
Yeah, that's insane.
To see that this was coming.
Well, Robert Gibbs said that they had intelligence. It's just
the president expects that in any case that he will be provided with relevant, timely and accurate intelligence assessments, and that's exactly what's been done throughout this crisis.
Everybody who's talked said that this caught people off guard. It wouldn't have caught you off guard if you had just taken a look at a few Facebook or Twitter accounts from Egypt.
Right.
Well, it wouldn't have caught anybody off guard.
What was the administration supposed to do about it, is my point. I mean, I don't...
Well, they need people younger than 40.
Yeah, exactly. They've got a bunch of old dinosaurs working at the CIA.
But not just Representative Lee realizes that the internet can bite you in the ass. The other thing is they're saying, Jim, is in some of these regimes, they're also able to use it the other way.
Right.
Secret police are able to get information and stuff.
The CIA should be trained to determine which is bogus and which is real.
58 minutes after the hour, The Stephanie Miller Show, it's all real. We'll be right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's Christina Vandenhoevel and the Waves. No?
6 minutes.
No.
Did I
get that wrong?
No.
Okay.
Computer says no.
No. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. We have a Facebook. Craigslist, no.
Computer says no.
No, on Craigslist, no.
We have a Ustream, too. You can see us on Ustream.
Yes, indeed you can. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
All right. And we are joined now by Representative of New York, Paul Tonko, who joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
We just should identify you as the congressman not on Craigslist from New York.
We represent the 21st Congressional District. I'll take it there.
There you go. There you go. Well, Congressman, let's. We obviously had some good job numbers this morning, right? I mean, job numbers, but unemployment claims are down, I believe.
Yeah, we keep going in the right direction. We've had about 1.2 million jobs added in the private sector, which is a large bit of progress, but certainly we're far from our goal, which is to respond to the over 8 million jobs that were lost during the President Bush administration. And, you know, it was a devastating recession. I think that many credit this administration for having saved us from the depths of a depression, full-blown depression. And now our task, our challenge is to put together the blueprint for the economic recovery. Just how do we want to plan and design the jobs of the future? And I think our focus in the House is to make certain that the jobs are embracing perhaps some of the jobs not yet on the radar screen, and with an outcome that speaks to sustainability. I think that's important. We don't want to provide false hope to the worker out there. The worker has taken it on the chin.
Mm-hmm.
Middle class of America has taken it on the chin, and it's time to bolster their opportunity here by delivering hope to their doorstep.
Yep. I got to tell you, I think all of us got a little lump in our throat during the Super Bowl. You know, when you look at our car industry being back, and that's all, you know, thanks to the president.
Right. He has, I think, done a masterful job of looking at the innovation economy. Just how are we going to grow those jobs? I think we talked on the last show that before my stop here in Congress, I'm in my second term, I was president and CEO of NYSERDA, the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. And part of our role at NYSERDA, which is nationally recognized, is to deal with basic research and R&D, to take new ideas and develop them into products, move ideas along that will enable us to respond with thoughtfulness and academic prowess to the challenges of the day, much like we did in the global race on space in the 60s, where President Kennedy led us into an innovation of economy of its time, and that created a lot of technical technology investments and technical-related jobs.
Well, and I mean, speaking of which, Representative, I think one of the most exciting things this president is talking about is high-speed rail, which for the life of me, I don't get why it's not good for America to build infrastructure, to create jobs like that, and to have high-speed rail connecting us. And yet, here we go again, the Republicans are against it.
Right. They have made major deep cuts to the high-speed rail initiative. I think it's at $1 billion that they're proposing that cut come. And I have to tell you, for my region of New York State, I represent the Capital Region, Albany and surrounding counties. From Albany to Buffalo is one of the routes that we're talking about with a high investment in high-speed rail. That then can connect us to the Midwest, to the Metro Chicago area, to Montreal in an international sense, to New York City and its metro area, and to Boston and its metro scope. So I think, you know, it tells us that we can and must think outside the barrel.
And Congressman, we were saying we're out here in Los Angeles, and we feel like we desperately need it out here in the West.
Well, I know that they've made major strides on the San Francisco-Los Angeles run.
Right.
That would be a focus. You know, China and Japan have been able to accomplish this high-speed rail initiative. Why can't we? So I think the president tosses out there some very good ideas. And by the way, when you mentioned the Super Bowl, one of my favorite lines that the president used or developed in his State of the Union message was, it's time for America to celebrate the Science Bowl as much as it celebrates the Super Bowl. As an engineer in politics, I would suggest we should celebrate it even more. It's time for us to encourage the growth of engineers, of scientists, of technicians in our society. We're woefully behind other cultures. We produce about 5% of any college graduating class that's from the engineering disciplines. In Europe, those cultures produce 12%. Asian cultures are producing 20%. So I think this president is on to, I think,
I agree. And Representative, I got to tell you a story we were talking about, because it just struck me, you know, when the president was talking about how we're whatever we are, right, 31st and you know, math and right. way down the list and science and whatever it is. And, you know, we were looking at Texas has this incredible, you know, deficit now. They're, you know, in a bigger hole than California, I think. And I was reading a story. They just spent $60 million of taxpayer money on a high school football stadium for 18,000 people.
Think America needs to get its priorities right. And when I was in grade school, it was just past the Sputnik moment, and everyone, from parents to grandparents to clergy to teacher and school officials, community officials, everyone talked about Sputnik. We were going to win this race in space, on space, and we won it. We won it because we embraced it with passionate resolve, and that's what we need today. We need that same order of passion to win the race on clean energy and innovation. And it's not like we have a choice here to enter the race. Nations are investing heavily. They're going to pass us by. And so this is a very important budget that's presented to the House. And what I see right now is a response from the GOP that would reduce jobs, reduce investment in technology, reduce the sorts of developments that we need to have a sustainable outcome, to embrace this innovation economy with the intent to win it.
Yep, absolutely. Let's talk about healthcare for a moment, because you and I have talked about that before. They're not going to be successful in trying to defund it, are they?
Well, you know what's really troubling is that we spent weeks in the House this year, in this session, starting in January, to repeal the Health Care Act. That is, as you suggest, indicate, the law of the land. We wasted precious time. We have been in session now for 5 weeks. In the House. 12 bills have been voted on in those 5 weeks. Zero is the number of House votes on bills that have been through respective committees, and zero is the number of House votes on bills intended to create jobs and address what should be our top priority. So, you know, we wasted time on the repeal the health care measure. You're citing something that could be troublesome because they control the purse strings from this House's perspective. If they want to defund or not fund, you know, if they want to reduce the commitment or totally not fund certain orders in the budget that would enable the implementation of the health care law, they could do it.
Yeah,
and I think it's just really tragic that we're not focusing on what ought to be what is America's number one priority, what ought to be the top priority of Congress, and that is jobs.
Yeah, well, I agree. And, you know, I had a yet another constitutional expert on yesterday who said that, you know, this is laughable. It is not going to be found unconstitutional. You know, and as the president says, that we ought to work together to strengthen it or improve it, but not waste time on this ridiculous trying to repeal or refund or defund.
Right. And I think that, you know, again, the focus is just not there. It's not laser sharp. It's not a commitment to job creation. It seems as though there was a message that everything that was being done was wrong and America submitted to that message. But now I don't see the policy. I don't see the initiatives. I don't see the direction. And again, the agenda produced for the House that really takes us to job creation, which is the highest order of priority. I can tell you that with their budget proposal yesterday, with just the beginnings of information coming in, that they're cutting us in three main areas. One in technology and the future jobs of our country. A second in basic protections for America's families that they rightfully deserve. And then in areas that address our neighbors who are most needy and oftentimes voiceless amongst us. This past Super Bowl weekend, I spent with students, high school students, competing in New York State for a science bowl that will take them to Washington for a national competition. That, I thought, was a high priority and what this country needs, to invest in STEM, in science, technology, engineering, and math for our students. So I wanted to spend my Super Bowl weekend with that constituency. And then I spent my Sunday with the homeless at the homeless shelters with our hungry and homeless populations because they are going to be neglected by this budget. I think those are the things we need to put into working order and understand that it is not only our responsibility, it ought to be our moral compass.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
It has been a pleasure, and my best to your listeners, and we look to join you again.
All right, thank you, sir. There
Yay.
He goes. He's a good one. He's the good one from New York. He's the one not on the Craigslist.
Well, he's from the other side of the state, too.
Yes.
He's from Albany.
Exactly, the non-Craigslist kind. They wear shirts in that area.
in the Hudson River Valley?
Yes. It's my home state. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website, by the way. You can email us all there. I just love the subject line. It's, huh? Just... You know, because people are frequently befuddled by the show.
I am, too, sometimes.
Me, too. Lance says, I listen to your show from time to time, always with amazement. What on earth were you fed as a child growing up? What major life dysfunction encountered you for you to have the train of thought that affords you the use of only half your brain? Listening to you on the Internet in Fort Wayne, Indiana, home of Harry Balls. See, it's just, you know what? He's scratching his head. They're in the home something. Of Harry Balls. Yes. All right. Okay. All right. And then Confused Gay Edward writes, guys, I love the show, but you keep talking about some guy named Phyllis Schlafly. Who the is that? I'm 28 years old, New York City gay, who spends most of his time drinking and fornicating. I haven't had time to do research. I assume he's not sexy, because if he were, I would have looked him up by now. Please take a moment and tell me who he is. Oh, dear. See? That's what you tried to tell me in my It Gets Better video. The kids don't know who Phyllis Schlafly is.
Yeah.
She's a right-wing hag from...
from the 60s and 70s.
Yes, yeah. Yes. She's... What is she? I don't even know what her organization is. Something.
The Eagle Forum.
Yes.
Where did I pull that one?
Wow.
Why did I know that one? Holy crap.
That is sad.
The Eagle Forum.
Yeah, she's a Republican dinosaur. Okay.
Yes.
All right. 18.
And she coexisted with humans.
She wanted to get females out of the military.
Yes.
Right. She wanted to get
gays
out of
America. She's a chick that hates chicks.
Yes. And stop abortion.
And she
hates gays, and her son is, has the...
Gay.
It's
been such a disappointment to her.
All right. You know what? I should have called the National Go-To meeting, and we could have Googled Phyllis Schlafly together so you would know.
Google Phyllis Schlafly.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
24 minutes after the hour. Jim, you know one of the known unknowns, the known unknowables, the things, the knowns we could never have known, according to Donald Rumsfeld in his new book, is the where the weapons of mass destruction were, because obviously wrong, and we don't know who could have, cheese and crackers, who could have said such a thing that we knew.
Area in the south and the west and the north that coalition forces control is substantial. Mm-hmm. It happens not to be the area where weapons of mass destruction were dispersed.
Oh. Mm.
We know where they are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad. East, west, south, and north, somewhat.
Okay.
Somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat. East, north, south, and west.
Uh-huh.
The region by the thing, the guy.
No, for sure, he's that they're there. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lori.
And yet?
Lori, who should have said such a thing? Lori in Chicago.
Stars and garters.
Remember when he also said the Iraq war will be 6 days, maybe 6 weeks, I doubt 6 months?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Thanks.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I let my sadistic bad self take over this morning. I tuned into Fox and Friends. Brian Manboy and Stretch and Gretchen.
Yes.
Waiting to hear about Chris Lee and his Craigslist scandal. I had to sit there for 10, 15 minutes.
Mm.
Nothing.
Really?
I ended up putting a screwdriver in my eye socket listening to it, but I didn't hear anything.
Interesting.
Next time I'm going to have to let Media Matters do this job. I can't take it anymore.
You know what, though, Lori? I do have to give Fox News credit, because Brett Baer yesterday led his newscast with it. So I do have to give him credit.
Okay.
I'm sure the breaking news from Egypt is just too much. You know what? I'm going
to
give you a $50 Pro Flowers gift certificate just for having the... for the stomach to watch Fox News, but don't do it again, all right?
Okay. What about the screwdriver?
All right. Just for having to put a screwdriver in your eye. Listen, we watch so you don't have to.
That's right.
Oh. All right. Kim in Seattle. Steph, everyone talks about the boner's orange skin color, but has anyone wondered if he wears eyeliner? Maybe he had that permanent eyeliner tattooed on his eyes. Something just isn't right. Kim in Seattle. I have that permanent eyeliner. It's true. How does he not cry that eyeliner off all the time?
Hmm.
I think she's right.
It's waterproof.
I I think so, too.
Maybe he uses Maybelline.
Maybelline. Waterproof.
Maybelline. Why can't it be true?
Mary Beth in Connecticut writes, Staff, how annoying is it when when Chris Wallace asked him about his smoking, he indignantly replied, tobacco is a legal product, so everyone should just leave him alone.
Wow.
Abortion is legal, too. Is the boner willing to leave women alone who need access to this legal procedure? What
Apparently
a boner.
Not.
Thank you. Yes, he is a boner. Thank you, Mary Beth. Lori in what you call it. She's getting her pro flowers. Linda in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I think Chris has got one of the hardest jobs listening to Fox News.
Yes.
Listen, I'm calling. I really appreciated that last representative you had on there. I feel like he was representing what I feel are core values of the Democratic Party. And I think that I was incredibly disappointed with the Obama administration because I read that they're cutting back on heating aid to the poor and the needy. And this is the group that gave $5, $10, $15 to get him elected. And they're the group that also voted for him for 95%.
Well, Linda, what frustrates me is I understand that, you know, the need for compromise or the need to reach out. But, you know, as he has said, I mean, how can you keep the tax cuts for the top 2%, which represents this huge chunk of money? And I agree with you. Any of the other things are just they're token compared to what the actual what's causing the actual deficit.
Right. You know, I think it's cowardly, actually, to show that you're serious about deficit cutting by doing it on the backs of the poor and needy instead of going with a stock stock transaction tax on the wealthy.
In 2 years, whatever this, you know, the timetable is supposed to be, if we can get out of Iraq and Afghanistan and, you know, get rid of these tax cuts for the top 2%, boom, there goes the deficit right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to do all these little piddly, like, oh, the public broadcasting and heating aid and how about this 17 cents over here? And, you know, I mean, it's not significant and everybody knows it, budget-wise. So, All right. Listen, there's breaking celebrity news everywhere. You know how we know?
How?
Because there's a helicopter over your house in Hollywood.
Oh, my God. A helicopter hovered over my place at 1:30 in the morning for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. That means there's Lohan-esque news.
I live too close to celebrities, I've discovered.
I know. We're always like, what's happening with Charlie Sheen or Lindsay Lohan? Something.
Yeah.
All right. We'll update you on all that in Celebrity Stack next. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love pretending that I'm better than everybody else.
Who do you think I got it from?
Stephanie Miller.
Is this in honor of Christopher Lee, Tainted Love?
Oh, no, this is SOS by Rihanna.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. You're
it's the same, but she sampled that.
Totally.
Okay.
They do start the mummification process early in Egypt. Wow, he looks good for 82.
He really does.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how his shirtless photo looked on Craigslist. I'm sure that led to this. Mubarak will step down tonight is what they're, according to two sources now.
Yeah.
Breaking news. We'll see.
The guy who takes over from him.
Torture guy.
Yeah. He's personally tortured people. He's part of our whole extraordinary rendition thing.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, but listener Ken has sent a montage for the dearly departed Representative Christopher Lee, who just departed from Congress yesterday.
Yeah.
The married congressman from upstate New York who resigned. That was a land speed record for resignation from sex scandal breaking. It's a shirtless photo on Craigslist.
That's a nice muscle throwing arm you got there.
Breathtaking political bombshell from Capitol Hill. Congressman Chris Lee quickly resigned after his shirtless picture turned up on Gawkers.com.
You know, if you get sweaty and want to take your shirt off, that'd be just fine.
Wore my shirt. Wore my shirt so sexy it hurts. And I am too sexy for
the United States House of Representatives.
This is, I think, particularly embarrassing because the Republican Party had laid down a zero-tolerance policy with its members. John Boehner had literally sat down with some members and said,
"Hell no, you can't!"
I'm too sexy for your
the Republican
party. Too sexy for your party.
This simply shows in the age of the Internet, everything happens quickly. From revelation to resignation in 4 hours, astonishing.
On Craigslist.
Ah!
On Craigslist.
On the
Craigslist.
Thank you, Ken. What happened to draining the swamp? I guess he was too busy trying to drain the snake. Oh,
draining the snake.
No, that's different. That's different. Listen, I don't know what happens with the boy parts.
Apparently.
I haven't seen him in quite some time.
Not since high school, right?
No. College. Later than that.
College.
No, after college.
Really?
Yes.
Do tell.
Let me think. I'm going to say 89 or so, 90, perhaps.
Hmm. All right.
It's in the 90s I saw one. Okay.
Probably the last time you wore shoulder pads, too.
Oh, boy.
So were you wearing shoulder pads at the time? Nothing else, just strategically placed shoulder pads.
Glenn, New York. New York boyfriend. Okay.
You had really?
Yes, I know. I had to jog my brain there for a second. Okay, a shop in Alabama on Tuesday launched a Valentine's Day offer hopes will trigger a large response in a limp economy. Customers can swap their guns for sex toys.
Huh?
Woo! Yay!
Sweet!
Mm-hmm. Wow. Sherry Williams of Pleasures Sex Toy Shop.
Because what else do you call a sex toy shop?
Exactly. Yeah.
So gun nuts will have to bleep people to death, I guess.
Yes, they posted a thing on the website saying they're trading guns off the street for fun between the sheets. Good for you.
Wow.
Yes, men like things to go off in their hands, that's for sure.
Well, it is called Luc Dimar, so I guess so.
And in other southern state news, oh, heavens, license plate honoring KKK leader proposed in Mississippi.
Yeehaw!
A fight is brewing in Mississippi over a proposal to issue specialty license plates honoring Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was an early leader of the Ku Klux Klan. I just love the quote in here, the NAACP president, Derek Johnson, there. Seriously? Wow. This is only reaction. Really?
I think I played Nathan Bedford Forrest in it. Civil War, one of the Civil War shows.
Really?
Well, voiceover, not on
camera.
Okay.
I wasn't a reenactor or anything.
For, like, that Civil War documentary that Ken Burns
did? That one.
Did they make you wear a sheet over your head for the voiceover? Because then it's hard to hear, probably.
Because then they only have to pay scale.
Jim, you need to project.
if they can't hear you, they only have to pay scale.
Wrong with
enunciate.
So, yeah.
All right. Oh, dear. This is Susan, the official honorary pet shop owner of the Stephanie Miller Show. Staff, we own a pet shop in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and although we have your show on every morning, I often have to run as fast as I can to turn the volume down when children come in the door because I don't know what's going to come out of your mouth. Today, a small group of preschoolers came in with their teacher.
Oops.
To visit Maude, our resident shop cat, when suddenly a Laura Ingraham routine broke out.
No.
I didn't make it to the radio in time, but luckily the fuzzy kitty was distracting, so I don't think any of them were permanently harmed.
And not the other fuzzy kitty.
I've also included a picture of a gourmet canned beaver food that's actually quite popular in our store. Nice beaver food.
Okay.
Way to go.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuck.
Someone not thinking of the children. Some children were exposed to the Laura Ingraham orgasm, which I It probably sounded like cats in heat that were already in the store, so the kids probably didn't even notice the
there
difference.
There's that. Yeah.
It does sound remarkably like your impression of your...
It's almost the same, yeah.
Is that supposed to...
There's some man out there right now listening that has slept with Laura Ingraham, and there's a few of what I heard is true. That just went, that is eerie. That is haunting.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
That's
Exactly. You'll be haunting my dreams. Wow.
Okay.
Wait a minute. That's a cat in heat?
Yeah, that's one of Jim's old cats in heat, remember?
That's supposed to bring all the boys to the yard?
Yeah. Yes,
really?
That and milkshakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cats like milkshakes better, but... Okay. Al Gore says Keith Olbermann is already bringing new viewers to Current. Which I'm told I have, and I have to find it before I got plenty of time. When's he on? He's not on for a few months.
Right.
He said people have already begun looking for the channel. I bet you that's true. They said someone asked him, do you think he'll create a groundswell of people asking their cable providers to make Current available to them? And he said it's already started spontaneously yesterday with the announcement. Absolutely. You can look it up on Twitter and find it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
When Al Gore, it's hard to tell when he's excited, but he seems...
I'm so excited about the fact that people are looking for my channel on their satellite and cable systems, and I plan to continue this. I'm sorry you had to hear me like this in this agitated state, but I just find it so Where was I?
Elise in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Elise.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I tell you, I listen to you guys every day. I sit alone in an office and listen to you guys, and it makes my morning go faster.
Aw, thank you.
I wanted to
Me too. I wouldn't be doing anything if I wasn't doing this. I'd just be sitting at home.
A couple of things I wanted to point out was, one, on Jeopardy the other night, the final question was, who is the Speaker of the House? And not one person on the panel knew who it was.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
No,
the other
sorry.
Thing was, somebody had mentioned earlier about the Fox News thing where you quite weren't sure. They did this poll with Fox News somewhere where they were interviewing people, and they were asking if the president was a Muslim or not, and the whole, like, about 10 of them said they thought he was.
Yeah.
It was just a typical Fox News audience, and I was thinking, well, of course, they're all white, and they all hate the president.
yeah, exactly. No, I think it was a Frank Luntz group, one of those polling groups. By the way, what the fuck? This will be breaking news to, well, nobody. Asked what most viewers and observers of Fox News would be surprised to learn about the controversial cable channel, a former insider from Fox News was quick with a response. I don't think people would believe it's as concocted as it is. That stuff is just made up. A former Fox News employee who recently agreed to talk to Media Matters confirmed what critics had been saying for years about Murdoch's cable channel, namely that Fox News is run as a purely partisan operation. Virtually every news story is actively spun by the staff. Its primary goal is to prop up Republicans and knock down Democrats, and the staffers at Fox News routinely operate without the slightest regard for fairness or fact-checking. What the fuck?
Really? I hadn't noticed.
What? All right. Robin and Madison on the situation in Egypt. Hi, Robin.
Hi. I just wanted to call because I was listening to your... I love you guys. When I'm down, you just make me laugh. You're fantastic. But anyways, I want to clarify that you were right. Wael Noman, who was the cyber activist, he did trigger the protests in Egypt on a Facebook page.
Right. Yeah, I said he was he's a Google executive, but yes, he.
But they were, you were going back and forth, and the guys were like, it wasn't Facebook, and they were like, trying to make it out like you were an idiot or whatever.
That's what their job is. Yes, and I think, and Robin, if you listen, that I'm always right and they're always wrong. They just did.
Right.
Yes,
hey,
they're invested in me being wrong.
I wanted to back you up, and as far as I'm concerned, I feel like this is one of the biggest things happening right now, and I feel like it should get a lot of coverage because I think there's going to be a domino effect, and I think that we're in a major transition right now, and it'll be very interesting to see how we react as a country. And I think that all of us who agree with what's going on in Egypt should contact our representatives and let them know that we don't want to back these types of regimes in Egypt anymore, because who knows what this vice president's going to do.
Yeah, I agree. There's Eric Cantor yesterday, by the way, Robin, talking about the primary goal of U.S. policy in Egypt should be to stop the spread of radical Islam. And it's like, are you missing the whole story? This is pretty incredible, Robin. You're absolutely right. This is not about Islamic radicalism, they are a small part of what is obviously a huge this is pretty amazing when you think about this, that this is they just brought down this regime.
Huge, and also whatever Cooper on CNN, he's got a really big thing now on the internet today supporting this and trying to clarify that they're trying to make it like they're paying somehow the West is paying these people to be in the streets and all this, and he's saying it isn't personal, but he's speaking out too, and I think more and more people need to speak out because this might ignite some activism in the United States right now to pressure Obama to be a little clear about some of the choices that he's making.
I think that's the main story out of this whole thing is if you touch one silvery hair on his head, you will live to rue the day. He's
nobody messes with the silver fox.
But it's true. They've put out a lot of stories that, and you're right, it's not working. People know that it is not driven by the Muslim Brotherhood. They know that they are not being paid. They know, that this is not being fomented by other countries, including us.
And also, I just want to make a comment in terms of observing that, they were reinvigorated by this young man because of his tears. And that a man weeping in public, has
for a good reason, not like
people.
The boner. Not...
On people, though.
Yes.
On people, they want to be empathetic. And men, in being on their feminine side and weeping, move women out of the house and men and everybody everywhere into the streets to back something.
Well, Robin, but let's draw a distinction between that and John Boner's ceaseless blubbering, because he's always crying about himself. Listen, this guy was crying about freedom and about people that have died in the name of freedom and things that,
This is true.
Yeah, exactly. Not about, taverns. Working in a tavern. Tavern. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed.
Well, you should.
I'm your help, I'm
but
your
I don't.
No?
I will be on the Joy Behar show on CNN Headline News tonight, whatever time that is. It airs 1,000 times. Check it out. 51 minutes after the hour.
Her time recently changed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, the time that she airs recently changed, so please check your local list.
Please, won't you? Thank you. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, by the by, Russ in Batavia, which is
Illinois.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the district of Representative Christopher Lee. Steph, how dare he resign so quickly and deprive progressives of a lengthy opportunity to have fun at his expense when he resigned after over 3 hours? It was a case of premature exultation. That's true. I know. Because you know there has to be a lot more fun with that story. You know that can't be it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
God, I don't think
you
quit that fast because, you know, because they're just saying it's not even that bad. You don't even know if he did anything. It's just a, you know.
So there's got to be something else.
Yeah.
The other shoe is going to drop.
Yeah, it's not like a Harry Balls story or anything. You know, he's just...
And when Harry Balls drops, that's...
Yeah, he had a pants on and everything. Mike in Austin, Texas says, Steph, when Rush was saying that black women hate black men when black men hook up with white blonde women, was he referring to his friend Clarence Thomas? I don't I don't think anybody wants drunk dialer Ginny Thomas, but I could be wrong. Here's the story I actually agree with, because I'm like, didn't I ask this yesterday? How did they get away with this? House Democrats, 74 House Democrats, have signed a letter to Clarence Thomas asking him to recuse himself from any deliberations on the constitutionality of the health care overhaul, arguing his wife's work as a lobbyist creates, the appearance of a conflict
more
of interest.
More than the appearance.
Yeah. They wrote, from what we've already seen, the line between your impartiality and you and your wife's financial stake in the overturn of the health care reform is blurred. Your spouse has advertised herself as a lobbyist who has experience and connections and appeals to clients who want a particular decision. They want to overturn health care reform. Moreover, your failure to disclose Ginny Thomas's receipt of nearly $700,000 from the Heritage Foundation, a prominent opponent of health care reform between 2003 and 2007, has great concern.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the fact that they're going, oh, Elena Kagan should recuse herself, you're like, what?
Well, she did recuse herself from a whole bunch of cases.
Because that's
Democrats
ridiculous.
Do,
healthcare
do the right thing.
Democrats do the right thing and Republicans don't. That's right. Exactly why.
Yes. All right, we were talking about the boner before the, the break. What did this mean when he said on Tuesday he should be a member of the Tea Party? He said, I should be. When asked if he was during an interview on the radio, he said, I don't know if I actually pay dues, but I'm a big believer in the Tea Party, and I talk to Tea Party activists all over my district, all over the country, every day.
Plus, I'm the same color as tea, so.
The orange spice.
Yes,
tea.
Exactly.
That
That's
one.
What he is.
I love that one.
I might as well be the Tea Party.
This is exciting news.
Never mind.
There's a Tea Party magazine coming out this week. Isn't that exciting?
Ooh,
first issue of Tea Party Review. Yeah, are there full color spreads? Are there centerfolds of Michelle Bachmann or
Oh, well, that'd be all right, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude!
He's a dude. She's pretty. You know, and as Jim likes
nuts,
to say.
But,
as Jim always likes to say.
Crazy in the head, crazy in the bed.
Yeah, that's what Squeezy says. Okay, The first issue of Tea Party Review, which describes itself as the first national magazine for, by, and about the Tea Party movement, will make its debut, during the C-SPACL conference this week in Washington.
C-SPACL.
Mm. People are weary of the distorted version of the Tea Party movement we see in most of the media, said one of the tea backers. It comes to us from higher standard publishers. They put out a children's book called Help, Mom, Radicals Are Ruining My Country. That popular children's
book. Yeah.
I'm not sure that sold as much as Harry Potter, but okay.
All right. Or the Cat in the Hat.
Or Highlights for Children.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay. The yeah, there was a breaking. That probably was the helicopter. Was Lindsay Lohan news? She pled not guilty to felony grand theft of a $2,500 necklace that could a case that could send her to jail rather than the big screen. If convicted of the theft charge, she could face up to 3 years in state prison. Oh dear. The judge. I love this part. He also ordered Lohan not to have any contact with the jewelry store that reported the necklace missing. The order came after someone sent the store flowers on Lohan's behalf after the police started their investigation. I hope she typed Stephanie in the box to check out pro flowers, in which case I'm all for that. Oh, I love this headline. Hasselhoff blasts reality shows.
But wasn't he on
hasn't he been in every one of them?
Well, he had his own reality show called Hasselhoff.
Yes. Yeah. He said he's not a fan, really, of the genre.
Well, why did he... Oh, he was canceled after two episodes. That's
he
right.
told students at Oxford, reality television has ruined television. It's the exploitation of youth.
They asked him to speak at Oxford?
Apparently. That's I know, that's the punchline of the story.
Well, they've lowered their standards.
Tom Cruise reportedly made Katie Holmes purify her levels in his state-of-the-art Scientology bus.
Oh, boy.
Made with reputed slave labor. Oh, dear. Tom demanded the custom-built bus made for him using a Scientology slave labor be fitted with a drawer for his slippers because the neat freak didn't want anyone walking on the carpet.
No.
To a former high-ranking church staffer. RadarOnline.com reporting, Cruise also used the luxury vehicle as a base for lover Katie Holmes. Oh, his lover? Katie Holmes to begin her purification rundown program. How much fun does that get? You know what? I'm sure it'll all come together when Mom sings along. That
shoes
like
are
fun.
Suppressive and glib. Don't mess up the carpet!
Is there a bouncy couch on the bus?
Oh, that is so not Partridge Family. Okay, the Rolling Stones' latest tour, reportedly in jeopardy, following a fight over this Sir Mick Jagger's manhood. He's said to be still angry with Keith Richards after he claimed in his autobiography that Mick has a small penis and plans for a new set of concerts.
Mick's all balls.
Has been put on hold. In his book, Life, Keith referred to Mick as unbearable, as well as saying his former girlfriend had no fun with his tiny todger, Marianne Faithfull, apparently.
I mean, that's cool.
All right. Speaking of rock stars, walk this way, Steven Tyler. Oh, I knew someone would get that joke in there. Mm-hmm. Right down the aisle again.
What? Really?
He might, the American Idol judge's longtime girlfriend, Erin Brady, is so jealous of his flirting with the contestants on American Idol that she's pushing the 62-year-old rocker to tie the knot. Can I say one thing? He's the best-looking woman I've ever seen. Seriously, he is.
You haven't seen American Idol, have you?
No.
He looks like crap on American Idol.
Does he?
Yes, he really does.
I think he's pretty.
What?
Okay.
Well, that's good for 62 or whatever.
Yeah. All right. That's it for us today. 58 minutes after the hour. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.